بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson 1, شرح كتاب التوحيد. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم علمنا يا ربنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى صحبه وسلم. أما بعد، respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you very much, inshallah, to this series of lessons on the Book of Tawheed by the great Imam and Mujaddid Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. As is traditionally done by the scholars when commenting on a book, they would read from the book that they're commenting on in the beginning of the lesson, and then afterwards they will comment on the words of the Shaykh or the scholar. So following that tradition, inshallah, I'll begin today's lesson on the book Kitab al-Tawheed by reading the beginning chapter, and then we'll go into the explanation and background of the Shaykh and background on the book, inshallah ta'ala. So to begin with, the Shaykh, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kitab al-Tawheed. And then he begins with the ayahs from Surah Al-Dariyat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created the jinn or mankind except to worship.
وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ.
And verily we have sent among every ummah a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid the ta'bud, the false deities. And he said,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be dutiful towards your parents.
وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا.
Worship Allah alone and join none in worship with Him.
قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Join not anything in worship with Him. Be good and dutiful to your parents. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever wishes to ascertain the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on which he has put his seal, let him read the statement of Allah. Say, come, I will recite to you. And finally, it was narrated by Mu'adh ibn Jabal that he said, I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a donkey, and he said to me, O Mu'adh, do you know what the right of Allah is upon his slave? And do you know what the right of the slave is upon Allah? I responded, Allah and His Messenger know best. He continued, the right of Allah upon His slave is to worship Him alone and never to associate anything with Him. The right of the slaves upon Him is to not punish any person who does not associate anything with Him. I said, O Messenger of Allah, may I not give the glad tidings to the people? He replied, no, do not inform them lest they rely on this promise. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Respected brothers in Islam, we begin today, inshaAllah ta'ala, a series of lessons on the book Kitab al-Tawheed. written by the 12th century Mujaddid, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. Mujaddid meaning the reviver of the deen. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he learned Islam from his father at a very young age. His father was also a well-known scholar. He memorized the Quran by the age of 10 years old. And he grew up in an environment when there was a lot of shirk being practiced in Najd, in Arabia. There was the major shirk and minor shirk. There were many different types of shirk being practiced. The Muslims were fighting each other and they were divided upon one another. And they were differing over matters of worldly things. So the Shaykh, he began his call, and he called them to worship Allah alone, and to be sincere for the sake of Allah, to make all the worship only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to make any partners, any saints, any prophets, any object between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many people began to answer his call. And during his lifetime, the worshippers, the graves that people will worship, they began to demolish them and make the masajid only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, every true caller to the way of Allah is opposed. As Allah says that we inspire to the devils of man and jinn to be the enemies of every prophet. So even during his lifetime, there were those who opposed him. He had his enemies. That, like every prophet, he had enemies. But he continued to preach his message. And Allah gave me victory to his message. Because as the Prophet ﷺ said, there will always be a group from my ummah who will be manifest upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who will oppose them until the coming of the hour. So Shaykh ibn Abdul Wahhab, he composed this book called Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Tawheed. And what does Tawheed mean? Tawheed, literally it means to make something one. To make something one, wahada, to bring something and to make it one. And Tawheed, it has two components, two parts. One is knowing and affirming. Knowing and affirming something. And this is what they call Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the Lordship. Knowing who Allah is, and affirming that He is the one who created us, He is our Rabb. He is the one who supports us and provides for us. This is called Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the oneness of Allah's Lordship. Now, this is one part of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah's Lordship. It's knowing of that Allah is the one who created and He sustains. And also another component, this is similar to knowing Allah's names, recognizing His names. But there's another aspect of Tawheed, and this is called the Tawheed of worship. The Tawheed of Ibadah. It's not recognizing and knowing mentally, it's not recognizing or affirming, but it's worshipping. It's in this type of tawheed, it means that a person, he only seeks and desires Allah and through his worship. This is called the tawheed of talab and qasd. What this means is that a person, through their worship, they only desire and they only seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see the difference between the two? One is recognizing that Allah is the creator. He created us, He provides for us. The second aspect of Tawheed is that we seek and we only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone might recognize that Allah is the creator, yet he asks from an idol. He asks from a saint. He seeks to please another person through his worship. He seeks to please a worldly power through his worship. So even though he recognizes that there is one creator, there is one sustainer, he might have that aspect of Tawheed. which is the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, knowing that Allah is the Rabb, but he is negligent or he is corrupted in his Tawheed of worship of Ibadah. So that his desire, his intention, and his seeking is from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is that clear about the two different types of Tawheed? Is that this is a very important concept we want to make sure it's clear in the beginning. So some people, many people in fact, maybe many other religions, they have a concept of, they recognize that Allah is the provider, that the one God, there's one God who provides and sustains. Many religions, they might acknowledge that. But when it comes to the Tawheed of Ibadah, that we singling out, making only Allah the one that we ask from. Do all the religions do that?
No.
What is the only religion that does that?
Islam.
In every other religion, they seek from other than Allah. Or they intend something other than Allah when they worship. Either Jesus, or Mary, or so-and-so idol, or so-and-so saint. But in Islam, the Tawheed of Ibadah, the oneness of worship, is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the book, Kitab al-Tawheed, will focus more on the oneness of Allah's worship. There's no need to waste time trying to prove that Allah exists. Many people, when they comment on Tawheed, they spend so much effort trying to prove that Allah exists. That's not really worth our effort because most people already acknowledge that. It's in the fitrah of most people, they know that there's only one God. So there's no use spending time trying to convince people that there's a creator. What we need to convey, the message that needs to be understood, the message for which the prophets came, and the message that the Muslims have to convey, and the people of Ilm, is that Allah is the only one who should be asked from. He's the only one who deserves any act of worship. And this is the type of Tawheed that is greatly lacking amongst Muslims before non-Muslims. Amongst Muslims, they commit shirk and the Tawheed of worship, where they ask from other than Allah. They do actions for the sake of other than Allah. They believe that other than Allah can harm or benefit them. And so that, therefore, they take those objects as a means of getting closer to Allah. And these are the types of shirk that we hopefully will clarify through our study of this book. And that we can, inshallah, work to remove from ourselves and to the Ummah, inshallah ta'ala. So here the Shaykh, the topic of this book is the purpose which, or the explanation of which, why did Allah send the messengers to mankind? The topic of this book, what was the purpose why Allah sent the messengers to mankind? And the proofs are he brings are from the Quran and the Sunnah. Those are the only proofs that Shaykh Abdul Wahhab, he brings to prove the purpose for which Allah sent the mankind, sent the prophets to mankind and to the Jinn. Now, and how do we, what are the things that nullify the Tawheed from the major shirk and minor shirk? We're going to learn about this too. There's some things that are called major shirk that completely nullify Islam, and there's some things that nullify Tawheed. There's some things that are called minor shirk that take away from the perfection of Tawheed. And missing out on the perfection of Tawheed means that a person will not be with that first group who enters paradise without hisab. The only people who enter paradise without any hisab are those who perfected Tawheed. So we will learn the major shirk that takes one out of Islam and the minor shirk that is disliked. And even we'll learn about things that lead to minor shirk and the things that lead to major shirk, because even those things we want to avoid as well, inshallah ta'ala. So here that the author, Ibn Shaykh Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he begins the book with the verse of the Quran which says, Allah says, we did not create the jinn or mankind except to worship us. We did not create the jinn or mankind except إِلَّا وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ لِيَعْبُدُونِ. The last word here in the ayah comes from the word ibadah. Ibadah. And ibadah in Arabic, does everybody know what it means? I think many of you know, right? Ibadah, what does it mean?
Worship.
To worship. To obey. Literally it means to humble oneself. In the Arabic language, they talk about a road that is mu'abbad, which means that it's been stepped upon so much that it became like a well-trodden path. So ibadah means literally to humble oneself, to lower oneself. So ibadah here in this ayah, it means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey His commands and stay away from His prohibitions. Ibadah, worship, it means to follow the commands and stay away from the prohibitions. If one doesn't obey the commands and stay away from the prohibitions, can he claim to do ibadah to Allah? So this is the basic meaning of ibadah. Now, it's obeying Allah by commanding, following His commands. So Allah, He's telling us in this ayah, I did not create the creation except to worship Him, myself, Himself alone, without partners. So whoever fulfills this purpose of worshiping Allah, then he will be in the paradise. Whoever fulfills that purpose, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the best of rewards. And whoever disobeys Him, does what He prohibited, and stays away from what He commanded, he has a punishment awaiting that person. The next ayah, Allah says, we have sent in every nation a messenger to worship, saying, worship Allah and stay away from Ta'ghut. Ta'ghut, in Arabic, it means everything that goes beyond the bounds. Ta'gha, in Arabic, Allah describes Fir'aun, Ta'gha, means he went out of the boundaries. So Ta'ghut is something that is worshipped other than Allah. What could be more out of the bounds than worshipping besides Allah Ta'ala? So ta'ghut is when something is worshipped besides Allah Ta'ala and it is pleased with that worship. So for example, Fir'aun, he was ta'ghut of his time. Even some ideologies, communism, socialism, are types of ta'ghut because they're ways of worshipping, or there are ways that are beyond what Allah has legislated. So this is a type of ta'ghut. Ta'ghut is anything that goes beyond the bounds that Allah has set for His worship. Now, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and your Lord has decreed or commanded that you worship Him, you do not worship except Him, and you are kind to your parents. And that you be kind to your parents. Excuse me. So here what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that we not only do we have to worship Him, do not worship except Him, but also to show kindness to the parents. And that means that the kindness to the parents comes only one level after Allah has put parents next to Himself in terms of the right. He said, do not worship except Him and be kind to the parents. So as if He's put the parents, kindness to the parents, to the level of worshipping Him, but in avoiding shirk, except it's secondary, it comes after worshipping Him. So this shows you the great importance of showing kindness towards the parents, because just as Allah Ta'ala is provided for us and taken care of us and given us risk, our parents, they provide for us in a worldly sense and took care of us and provided for us. And Allah says, and give thanks to me and be wadi wadi deika وَأَنِشْكُرْلِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكِ Give thanks to me and to your parents. Now. Now. Okay, so then we come to the next hadith in the chapter, or the next ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Come, I will recite to you what your Lord has prohibited for you. Do not make shirk with Him. Do not make shirk with Allah. تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا So here Ibn Mas'ud, he was quoting this ayah, where Allah says, Let me recite to you what your Lord has commanded you. And He says, Don't make shirk with Allah. Be kind to your parents. Don't kill an innocent child. Don't kill the soul without right. And it mentions 10 things. So Ibn Mas'ud, he says, Whoever wants to see the last will of the Prophet ﷺ, as if he stamped it himself, his advice to his ummah, read this ayah. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, this ayah tells you the advice that the Prophet ﷺ, as if he were giving it to the ummah, summarizing his advice to the ummah. So this is this ayah, and again, the first thing mentioned in the ayah is to make tawheed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to establish the tawheed of Allah. And the last hadith in this chapter, inshaAllah ta'ala, is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. And Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned this very beautiful hadith. Does anybody know, was Ibn Mas'ud one of the elder Sahaba, or was he one of the young ones?
Wasn't young.
That's right. Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud, he was one of the very young Sahaba. In fact, in this hadith, we're going to see Ibn Mas'ud, he says, I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a donkey. On a donkey. And he said to me, Ibn Mas'ud, he's the one who mentioned the previous statement that whoever wants to hear the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, let him look at this ayah. The hadith in the end of the chapter, apologize, is not by Ibn Mas'ud, it's by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was he an elder Sahabi or a younger Sahabi? He was also very young. Now, so Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, I was riding behind the Prophet ﷺ on a donkey. And he said, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, do you know what the right of Allah is on His servant? And do you know what the right of the servant is on Allah? So here, something very interesting. A couple of things that we find in this hadith. One, the Prophet ﷺ, he asked Mu'adh the question. He didn't just tell him. He didn't just say, The right of Allah is so-and-so. The right of the servant is so-and-so. He asked him first. Why do you think he asked him?
He knows.
Obviously, Mu'adh doesn't know the answer. He wants to teach him. To get his attention. See how the beautiful way of preaching. The Prophet ﷺ didn't want to bore Mu'adh by just telling him. He wanted to ask him, get his attention, make him think about it. And so this is the beautiful akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, that he would ask questions to the Sahaba to get them to think and to interact and show them and to show them importance, you know, and to communicate with them in a beautiful and a kind way. So he says, Do you know what the right of Allah is on a servant? And that means, what does he deserve? What does Allah deserve from them? And what that means is that what has to be done, what is the right that must be fulfilled. And this is what Allah has promised them a reward for. And that is, Allah will never break His promise. His right is that He should be worshipped without making shirk with Him. He should be worshipped without making any partners in that worship. That is purely Allah's right. Allah has a complete right that He be worshipped without any partners. Now, and then what is the right of the servant if he does that? And his right is, if he worships Allah without making any shirk with Him, What is his right?
He will not punish
him. Allah will not punish him. That's right. Allah will not punish him. So here we see a couple of things. One, we see also the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ. That he let a little boy ride with him. And what was he riding on?
Donkey.
Donkey, not a horse or some very... No, he's riding on a donkey, and he let a little boy ride with him, a young man. So it shows you his humbleness. It shows you his good way of teaching. It shows you, and what did Mu'adh say when the Prophet ﷺ asked him? He said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Right? As soon as he asked him, he didn't know the answer. He said, Allah and His Messenger know best. This shows you the good character and good manners of the student with his teacher. You see how Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was so kind, he was so respectful of the Prophet ﷺ that he said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And he showed good adab, good manners. He sat respectfully behind the Prophet ﷺ, eager to learn and listen. So we learn from this the good character that the Mu'adh had as a student. Now, also we learn here that the Prophet ﷺ said that the right of the servant, if he doesn't make shirk with Allah, that he's not punished. So does that mean that person doesn't have to make tawheed of Allah? Say somebody, he didn't make shirk with Allah, but he didn't make tawheed of Allah either. Is that possible? It's impossible, right? Because when you say you don't make shirk with Allah, that implies that you worship only Allah. It's implied that a person only worship Allah. Just like if you say to a person, if a person, they make wudu, then their prayer is valid. If they make wudu, their prayer is valid. That doesn't mean you can skip the other parts of the prayer. It just shows you that wudu is so essential to prayer that if you're missing the wudu, your prayer is going to be valid. But does that mean you don't have to do ruku and sajda and standing? And those are also required. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make shirk with Allah, but it didn't mean that you don't have to do all the other obligations. That making tawheed to Allah is also there, but he was emphasizing the part about not making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? A couple other points here in this chapter. We mentioned the humbleness of the Messenger of Allah and Mu'adh ibn Jabal and his good manners and adab. And whoever is asked about something he doesn't know, he should say, Allah knows best. This is a very important aspect of knowledge. They say half of knowledge is saying, Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam. If somebody doesn't know the answer, he's asked about something, then he shouldn't try to guess the answer. In matters of the religion especially. He shouldn't try to guess the answer or try to make himself look knowledgeable, so he tries to make up an answer. In the matters of religion, that's not correct. We should always say, Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. Also, what we see in this hadith, is giving good news to the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to give the good news to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, do you know what will be your right if you worship Allah, you don't make shirk with Him? That He will not punish you. So this is a good news that the Prophet ﷺ wanted to give. However, in the remainder of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Mu'adh said, should I tell the people? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, for I fear that they will rely upon it. So here, That's right. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, don't tell the people because they might rely upon it, meaning that they would think or assume that they would be of those people that didn't make shirk with Allah and they would leave the service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they wouldn't worship Allah, they wouldn't do the prayer, they wouldn't do other things. And that's not correct for a person to do that. That would be incorrect for a person to do that. Now, so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, don't tell the people this, because I'm afraid that they would rely upon that. They would think that they're going to die in Tawheed, and that they don't need to worship Allah and serve Him. So this shows you that it's allowed to hide knowledge from some people if it is not appropriate for their understanding. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you don't want to give them some knowledge that might misguide them at that moment, because they're not prepared, or they're not of the level of knowledge to understand or benefit from that aspect of knowledge. So here it says, the Prophet said not to rely upon it. Don't tell them, because they would rely upon that, and they would not worship Him alone. They would not do khidmah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, so what we see overall in the chapter is the importance of having ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that worship without ikhlas, or worship with shirk, is of no benefit. Somebody worshipping Allah but making shirk with Him, it will not have any benefit for the person, and that is not true ibadah. It shows you, the chapter shows us the great importance of the parents and their great right. And also the chapter, it shows us the importance of reflecting on the Quran to know the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And the permissibility of hiding some knowledge for a benefit, for a maslah, for some benefit, inshaAllah ta'ala. One last point also, the Shaykh, he begins the chapter with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And as a hadith mentions, this is the way that Allah began the Quran, with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And also, the hadith mentions that any important matter that is not begun in the name of Allah, then it will be cut off from barakah. So the Shaykh, he begins the book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and today we cover the summary of the introduction. And next time, inshallah, we'll go to the first chapter, inshallah, which is on the virtue of Tawheed and what it expiates of the sins, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now Allah knows best. Is there any questions? Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
I got two things. And I don't go to Allah and ask Allah, I go to the dentist. That's like buying a shirt, right? I should ask Allah first, then go to the dentist.
Okay, well, that's a good question. The brother said if he has a toothache and he goes to the dentist, is that minor shirk? Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam, rasulullah. Number one is, we're going to go into this. There's a chapter actually that talks about the perfection of Tawheed. You know, which means, you know, how does a person reach a level of perfection of Tawheed? And one of those things is this question that you just asked. So I don't want to jump ahead and cover that issue. But that's something that we're going to talk about. But it's not really going to the dentist or going to the doctor. The Prophet has told us, seek medicine, seek cure, take medicine, because Allah has not sent down a disease except that He sent down a cure with it. So it's not taking the medicine, but it's in the way that we say it. Like if we say, the dentist cured me, the doctor cured me, That is not major shirk, but that could be something that's not, you know, we're going to come into that, you know, in the way that we say things, we should have more other with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Yes, brother. No other questions? Okay, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.